Let's look at some of the things that we can do with it for 2 seconds. I have students call me all the time. They're in big trouble. Well, the time to plan is when you're not in trouble. When you're in trouble, it's generally too late because every state has what are called fraudulent conveyance acts. They basically say that if you try and move an asset away from you because you're in trouble and you don't want the creditor to get it, then the courts can come in, they can undo that transaction, and they can make whoever you gave the asset to cough it back up and give it to your creditor. So it isn't uncommon to have somebody get in financial trouble and start to move pieces of property to the children or move big bank accounts to the kids or to their mom and dad. And that just doesn't fly at all. In fact, what it does is it makes the court mad. And the court certainly has the teeth to go back and undo all of those transactions. In fact, the transactions can be tracked back for quite a long time. The fraudulent conveyance statutes are generally 4-year terms. If you've moved this property away within 4 years of getting in trouble, the courts can go back and undo it. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't sell a piece of property to a bona fide purchaser and have that be a transaction that the courts aren't going to come back and undo. But the catch is there, you are selling the piece of property for a fair market value. You got money, you got value back in exchange for selling the piece of property. If you give it to your kid, you aren't getting value back. If you get value back, then we're satisfied, we can come against the new value, whatever form that's in. And the creditor has his shot at that value. Bankruptcy laws generally give a look-back period of at least a year, and then if there's fraudulent conveyances, you go back 4 years. So it's not easy to start getting rid of assets or protecting assets if you are already in trouble. What can you do? Well, one of the things that you can do is look at a limited liability company or a limited partnership. Let's use the limited liability company because there's no general partner. Nobody's liable for anything that happens within the limited liability company. So set up a limited liability company, transfer the asset into the limited liability company. In exchange for that transfer, you are now going to get the membership interests. And whenever you're transferring property into a corporation or an LLC or whatever it is, a limited partnership, whatever it is, you need to make sure that you transfer the property in exchange for that transfer, you get membership interests, limited partnership interests, stock back in exchange. You're giving value, the property. You are receiving an equal value, the membership interests, or the stock. Now, the IRS is going to look at that, and they're going to say that that's a 351 exchange. There is no income to the company and nothing back to you because you got equal shares back to the value that you gave. It's also not a fraudulent conveyance because you have transferred equal value for equal value. However, you now have the property in a limited liability company. And what do you now know about a limited liability company? The creditor, when they come after you, they can take your economic interest, but not your management interest. And the economic interest in the piece of property without the management portion of the interest becomes a much less valuable prize for your creditor to go after. It puts you in the driver's seat where you can now bargain much more effectively with the creditor, the bankruptcy trustee, whoever it is. So don't tell anybody I told you this, but you just went around the fraudulent conveyance statutes and you got the charging order protection for the asset that you wanted to protect. If you're already in trouble and you have a limited liability company, something that you need to do is go in and get the operating agreement and see what it says. the fact that you go in and change the operating agreement, you can amend it, you can rewrite it. The fact that you go in, you amend it, you rewrite it prior to the time that the judgment is issued and the charging order is received, that's not a fraudulent conveyance. That has nothing to do with it. You just changed the terms on your contract, on your agreement. And there's absolutely nothing illegal about that. So as soon as you get in trouble, you think, okay, have a limited liability company. I need to go in and make sure that the terms of the operating agreement are perfect. Now, I'm going to give it to you that the operating agreement that you received in this LLC course isn't decked out with all of the possibilities that could be put in place for protecting assets when a creditor is coming against you. But when the creditor's coming against you, you know exactly how much is on the table, how much this agreement is worth to you. It is worth going to get a good lawyer and having that guy sit down and make certain that your operating agreement protects you under the unique circumstances of your case. I can work with you on that, but I'd just as leave have you get somebody local that you can look in the eye and you can communicate with them and tell them exactly the situation. Now, I do want to point out, if you have a piece of property, you're in trouble, you think, ah, I've got an LLC, I'll move it into the LLC. That's okay, but you had darn well better make sure that you get new, more membership interests back in return for giving or transferring the piece of property to the LLC. You're not giving it to the LLC. You're transferring it to the LLC. They are transferring membership interests back to you. It's got to be done properly, or it would be a fraudulent conveyance. One more point on the bankruptcy. The bankruptcy trustee can come in, and if you look at the Colorado case, remember that old Albright case that's a thorn in our side? That was a bankruptcy case. And if you look at it, you can see what the judge said was, this is an executory contract. We're just going to take it over. The contract, that was the operating agreement. So it comes back to, how well is the operating agreement written? You need to write the operating agreement so that the members, you, have some ongoing issue that isn't ever settled between you and the LLC. For example, you are going to have to continue to contribute money. You have to do different things. If you have to do things, it's what we call an executory contract, and it isn't something that the bankruptcy courts can just walk in and take over, because there's still obligations that you have to take care of that aren't related to the bankruptcy. I don't mean to belabor the point, but can you see how important the actual language in the operating agreement is? You can put in what we call poison pills. You can put in terms that say that the manager can't distribute any money if there is a charging order pending. You can do all sorts of things, and the courts have upheld whatever has been written in the operating agreement. We've been talking about the charging order, the attack coming from the personal side of the wall. You've got to remember, though, that you have to maintain the LLC. It has to be done properly. You have to continue to pay the fees. You have to do all the stuff that you have to do. You can't commingle money. That's a no-no. You do all of this stuff, or the creditor can look at it and say, yeah, I got to get a charging order. However, that's a charging order if there's a valid LLC. And so they come around to the front of the wall and they attack you on the business side and say, hey, look, this isn't a good LLC. The guy's commingled money. He's done all the rest of this stuff. It's just an alter ego. It's called reverse piercing. So they get to you not from the charging order side, but from the other side of the wall. Let me give you a good example of this reverse piercing. By the way, there aren't a lot of cases associated with these LLCs and this stuff. Because of the charging order, people just don't do these sorts of things much. They know they're not going to get anywhere. Why spend a ton of money? Anyway, the Litchfield case is one of the premier cases in the LLC area. What happens is the individual gets a judgment against them, and they go ahead, set up a couple of LLCs, transfer a ton of money into the LLCs. Okay, now that's not a fraudulent conveyance. We're all right. They got membership interests back in exchange. However, they then proceeded to ignore these LLCs. They never operated business. They used the money in the LLCs for their own personal accounts. They made interest-free loans to their family members. They did everything they could to ignore the fact that this money was transferred into an LLC. They just treated it like a bank account under a different name. So the creditor looked at it and said, well, all I can get is a charging order. And then they looked at how they were operating the LLC, and it was obviously a sham. So they went around to the front of the wall, and they attacked the LLC, said this is a sham. They didn't have to go through the charging order stuff. They didn't have to go through all the LLC hoops. All they had to do was show that the LLC was a sham, and they walked right in. The court gave them access to all of the assets as if the LLC had never been created. If you're going to set up the LLC after the judgment, you'd better make sure that you operate some sort of a business out of it. You don't have to make a profit, but you do have to have a profit motive, and you have to make a business, and you have to make sure that you set up the bank account, you don't commingle money, you file all the paper, all the rest of this stuff. Then the LLC will help you, if you do it right. So you've always got to keep in the back of your mind, I need to maintain my LLC, we've got to have all the paperwork in order, everything's got to be good, that way they can't get to you from either side of the wall if you have the LLC. Extremely powerful asset protection tool, by far the most powerful asset protection tool that we have domestically.